Ready.
Going to go ahead and call the January 11th Occupational Safety Examiners meeting to order at 1:30. Start with roll call. Dr. Quentin McCaskey, present.
Barbara Paulson, present.
Dr. Donnie Hosenfeld, present.
Charlene Marks, present.
Item 3, declarations of conflict of interest. You do for your license. Other than that?
Yeah.
None.
Okay.
None.
Okay. Item 4, review and approval of November and December's meeting minutes, including executive session. Any corrections or adjustments that need to be made? Or can we go ahead and make a motion to approve those minutes?
Mr. Chair, I make a motion that we approve the meeting minutes from November and in December's executive sessions.
Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 4-0. Item 5, review considerable future board meeting dates. Are there any problems with those dates, or does it look okay for everybody?
Okay.
Moving on along to item 6. Item 6A, Shailene Johnson. I am going to table that at the request of Sabrina, our AG, until we finish the rest of these complaints. Is that satisfactory? 6A2 is Courtney Albright. We got a stack of people who want to speak on her behalf. So if Courtney would come up first, that'd be great.
My name is Courtney Albright. I've been a practicing
OT. You can have a seat. Sorry.
Oh, sure.
And please speak into the microphone if you can.
My name is Courtney Albright. I've been a practicing OT for 5 to 6 years. I've been managing 4 of those years. I'm just here on behalf of the complaint that was set forth that you all have. And I'm here to answer any questions or concerns that you have regarding the complaint or any additional insight that I can provide.
From my standpoint, your part of that complaint was requesting adding diagnosis codes that the OTs add anyway, so I don't have a problem with that.
I'm familiar with that as well.
Pretty standard. Mm-hmm. The only thing that caught my attention, and it's relative to the CODA or therapist interpreting that, is the way you were asking to bill units, or the way Therapy Tree is asking to bill units, adds up to 31 minutes mm-hmm. versus 30-minute sessions, so mm-hmm. that's kind of relative. We could argue whether that's ethical or not, I would say, but at the end of the day, that's not something you can control them doing, whether you recommend it or not.
And in regard to, a lot of our sessions, we provide more intra-service time than the 31 minutes. And so definitely if a person is being only seen for 20 minutes, of course we're not billing for 31 minutes.
Right.
I mean, that is just, that was a template I used for teaching new staff. And that is just something to refer back to. But of course, if they're only seen for 15 minutes, we're not going to bill the 3 units. We're going to bill, one unit of therapeutic activities or one unit of home management. A big thing of why we are, and it's expressed thoroughly in the written component, a big reason why we're doing home management is because it is so important in every session we do. And these kids are coming in 1 to 2 times a week, and they're not going to progress unless they do that home management component. And so the requirement of that additional unit is because of that. And again, we don't have to follow, as an outpatient pediatric clinic, we don't have to follow the Medicare guidelines. We have to follow our insurance guidelines. But we do, even though we don't have to follow them, we do, hence the 23 minutes and the 8 minutes. Potentially we could probably bill 23 minutes and 7 minutes or 22, but with the knowledge I have, as well as best practice in my book and throughout my experience. That is kind of the standard that we follow.
I think best practice would be not dictating what somebody would bill, but best practice is not a state law either, mm-hmm. considering the situation. I don't agree with you. I'm surprised insurance companies reimburse the 23 versus an 8, because Medicare wouldn't, because it'd be 31 minutes, essentially. A lot of systems won't even bill like that, but that's irrelevant. If they're paying you, there's nothing illegal that I find in the statutes to recommend that you bill like that.
Mm-hmm. And not all of our codes are paid for. We don't bill to get paid. We bill for what we do. So whether we get paid for the home management or therapeutic activities or therapeutic exercise, we bill for what we do. We don't bill for what we get reimbursed.
Are there any other concerns or questions?
Thanks.
I understand why somebody would bring this to the board. I just don't think it's, I don't see a violation of our statutes.
And actually, throughout her time at Therapy Tree, she never brought the 31 minutes up to that was a concern of hers. And if she did, I would have allowed her to do what she felt comfortable with and provided her background information that I would have. The only thing she brought up to me that was a concern of hers was she was concerned about that she had to stay within the therapeutic activities and the home management, and that what if she didn't do home management, but that's a policy of Therapy Tree to provide home management. And so that's what was emphasized to her, you always have to provide home management. And if you provide it, you need to bill for it. So.
Are there any other discussion?
I just want to be clear. I have a question. So could you repeat what you said about the home management piece? So even though they don't need it, it still has to be done? If the patient doesn't need it, it still has to be done and then bill for? I just want to be clear.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Well, being in a pediatric clinic, it's key to always do home management. In order for the parents to do that, to do what we're doing at home. So it is mandatory and part of our sessions to do home management. Whether they come, for instance, if they are 20 minutes late and they're only there for 10 minutes, we bill for whatever 10 minutes we did. It would probably most likely be one unit of therapeutic activities. And the home management wouldn't be billed. But it's required that we, in every session, educate our parents to do what we're doing at home to improve, what we're working on in our problem goal and areas.
So if it's the same activity, if I'm saying that correctly, like if it's the same activity 2 weeks in a row, and it's you have to teach the parents each time and build them.
Every session is so different, and no one session is alike, okay. And so there's always something new being brought to the table in our treatment sessions. Our therapists are told to treatment plan, and they do very well treatment mm-hmm. planning, and they're always addressing not just the same goal area, they're addressing a different goal area. And even if they are addressing that same goal area, they're doing a different treatment intervention. They're not doing the same thing. And a lot of times our parents, they're very interactive and they want to have more knowledge. We could sit with each one of our parents and have an hour-long conversation. And a lot of times we do. We don't bill for that because we bill the 31 minutes or whatever the case may be, the 20 or whatever. But yeah, every session is generally not the same.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to follow up on that, because I don't have a lot of expertise in this area. So if you're doing, therapeutic activity, and maybe you just get totally engrossed in that. Was that, and then there wasn't time for the home management? Is that the point you were making, that the therapist just got into one thing, the activities part?
Typically how we structure our sessions is we give the parent a timer, and at like 20, 22 minutes, the parent comes back, and when we're providing service to the child, we are multitasking and educating the parent on what we're doing. And also the parent is observing the session too, so they get to see what we're doing. A lot of our parents, they're welcome to come back and stay in session. However, they prefer not to. But those that do prefer to stay in the entire session, they're welcome. But that typically is how our sessions run. So that's why I say pretty much every session, no matter what, parents are provided home management.
Okay, so it's total teaching kind of.
The home health company I work with, they at the end, they save that last portion to do the exact same thing.
Okay.
And that's to establish follow-up and to carry out, because we come once a week, once a month, whatever it is, it's not going to be beneficial. It's that family reinforcement. So what she's doing is very, very, very important.
Oh, absolutely. You've got to have that carryover. I get that. Okay. That helps. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Any other questions, discussion?
I don't have any questions.
I mean, the complaint's based on a business model to most effectively bill, which isn't illegal. So I would make a motion to dismiss the complaint. Do we have any other discussion or a second?
I would second that.
Okay. Doing a roll call vote. Aye. Quentin McAllister.
Barbara Paulson, aye.
Donnie Hosenfeld, aye.
Charlene Marbs, aye.
Motion carries 4-0. So,
thank
it's great that you have all the support, but it wasn't easy.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much for reading what I had to say and listening to myself. So thank you
for coming in.
That brings us to item 6A3, Lavetta Gibson, and I believe she's present. She's coming up. Fraudulently billed for a particular instance where a patient you went into the room a couple times, and essentially you build units that you can only do therapy, and that's been kind of clearly outlined in the documentation. Is there a specific statement you want to make? Or?
Yes, in regards to the situation. I wasn't aware that we couldn't bill, and I know this sounds crazy, but I wasn't aware that we couldn't bill for time that I looked at the chart, because it was, I had never worked with the patient, and the patient was new to the facility or the building. So I didn't know we couldn't bill for the time that I spent with the chart reviewing and getting to know like the stats and all the other information regarding the patient.
When you say stats, you were reviewing the chart, kind of collecting information?
I can't remember exactly, but that particular patient was under some kind of watch or some sort of some vitals. I can't remember if it was in June or so, but something that she was under watch for, that we had to make sure that it wasn't within normal range before we could treat her. And so I had to consult with nursing, do a chart review at the nurse's station, as well as make sure that everything was good for her to even have treatment.
Just checking on the precautions, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Any other questions? You guys are quiet today.
I know. It's clear that you accepted responsibility. for this and acknowledged, I think the words were, use of poor judgment. Is that correct?
Yes.
Are you still employed here?
No.
Okay.
May I ask if that was a personal choice or?
Yeah, it was a personal choice.
Or a career choice, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a clear violation of our ethics. It's kind of, I don't see this as being as minor as it could be, because as a evaluating therapist, you are allowed to bill for time. Of course, it's an evaluation code, so it's a flat rate, but you can use some of that time to review documentation, so it's different, but that being considered, I would think that we could maybe not be as firm.
Well, I did notice that in the complaint itself, the complainant, it did say, as a result of the investigation, it was concluded that this was an isolated incident.
I noted that as well.
So we're not seeing a pattern,
no.
Which I think is important.
I was just going to say, like, what have you learned from this experience?
Well, I learned to be more thorough with my documentation. My documentation didn't reflect the actual treatment session. And so, yes, I've learned to be exact with my statements as well as how I document the time spent.
I think it'd be appropriate to do maybe a short probation period and some continuing education. Maybe 3 or 4 units for billing. That way it can help you better understand some of the guidelines for that.
I think that's a good idea.
I agree. This be disciplinary?
Yes.
Disciplinary.
What are you guys thinking? Is that everybody's nodding their head?
I think.
Yeah.
Let's talk this out.
Yeah. Like probably 4. Well, I mean, I'd probably say 6. I think. Classes usually be 3. They're probably 3 each, so
okay.
I would say 6 would probably be.
So that would be
like 3 on ethics and then 3 on, maybe billing procedures.
Okay.
Well, so I have a question: is it if it was an isolated incident, or is it ethics, or just learning about billing?
Yeah.
Because it sounds like it's about billing and not...
It's our duty to know...
Ethics.
Our scope to be able to... What we can bill and not bill to.
Right. So is that a billing lesson?
It would fall under... I forgot the term. But... it's basically... making a mistake, but failing to realize what the rules are to do that. There's a word for it. It's in our code of ethics. Yeah. I just can't remember the term.
Is it volition?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so too.
I always get that and not malfeasance mixed up. Mm-hmm. So.
So hearing that still brings me back to, it feels, sounds like more like a billing thing, and it was an isolated incident and not an ongoing pattern of behavior. If it was ongoing, then I'd lean on the side of it's an ethical thing and a billing issue.
Okay.
It just sounds like a billing, learning, go back and learning the billing piece to me. That's,
in a way,
those are my thoughts.
The mistake comes down to fraud, billing fraud. So, but I mean, what are you thinking? Are you thinking that what we're proposing is reasonable, or should we be a little more lenient?
I was just thinking classes on billing.
Oh, okay.
Instead of classes for ethics and billing,
yeah.
Classes on billing.
Billing and maybe Medicare procedures or something like that. Do you work in the adult setting, or?
I work in, yes, in the senior setting. And again, I'm not sure if it was noted with the documentation that was presented, but at the time I didn't know it, but I was very newly pregnant at the time, and my judgment was a little off. I didn't know why I was so a little bit nonchalant about the way I would normally feel, but that was the reason why I was very exhausted. And so it did affect my judgment. And again, that was an isolated situation. And so I don't think that ethics is a main concern. I very well acknowledge the error as well as what not to do. So I agree with you as well.
Maybe we could do 3 units of billing and then a signed affidavit reviewing all the state statutes.
I think that would be good.
That sounds fair.
That's, yeah.
Statutes and rules or just statutes?
Both, yes, thank you.
Okay.
So I'll make a motion to offer a consent agreement for 6 months probation, 3 units of continuing education and billing, and reviewing the rules and statutes for the state for occupational therapy, and a signed affidavit confirming that. So, do I have a second to that?
I will second that.
Okay. We'll do a roll call vote. All in favor? Aye.
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 I'm sorry. You looked at me. I was just on board. All right. Aye, Barbara Paulson.
Aye, Donnie Hosenfeld.
Aye, Charlene Marbs.
Motion passes 4-0.
Sorry,
that was totally.
It's all right.
Do you have any questions?
Yes, actually. I wanted to know that I'm not familiar with the probationary period. Does that mean that no reoccurrence of any situation? I'm not sure.
I guess the easiest way to phrase this would be if this comes up again or another complaint comes up again, it could kind of compound. Potentially.
I see.
Can't say that for sure, but it could be more severe.
Okay.
So, is that a
new way? And there's language in the consent agreement that I believe it states that you agree that you won't make any other violations while you're under probation. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I just wasn't sure what that entailed.
So, essentially what will happen next is our attorney will draft that consent agreement. It'll get sent to you, you'll sign it, and then I believe once that gets back and is validated, then that period starts.
Mm-hmm. And it's just an offer of a consent agreement.
Right.
You can choose not to sign it.
Okay. And we didn't put a time frame for that continuing education, so I'm okay with it being due by the time, since it's only a 6 month period.
Okay.
So that continuing education is due by before you're off probation.
Okay.
And the sooner the better.
And the 3 units are in addition to.
The 3 units are in addition to your, you're an assistant, correct?
Yes.
So it's in addition to the 12 to renew for your license.
Right. Okay.
Did I cover it all?
I think that sounds good.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Item 6A4, Barbara Schultz. And I thought I saw a sheet for you.
There was one there.
All right. Give me just a second to catch up. If there's any questions. So it looks like you billed for care planning with a niece. I can't remember. Was it a niece
daughter.
Or a daughter? Yeah.
Can you kind of walk us through what happened, or your?
Well, I also had the 2 letters of reference. So the person, Michelle Toyes, mm-hmm. who is saying that she saw this, was actually fired that day at 2 o'clock, and her company. I sent the letter back to y'all saying that. And then I also had the speech pathologist that was there doing part of the caregiver training with me, mm-hmm. and she is a witness that I actually did an hour and a half of caregiver training, but the patient was only there for 45 minutes, and that's all that I billed for. so I don't know, have any idea where they got this. She was fired that day for patient abuse, and she was thinking it was me that turned her in. It was a very hostile environment to work for, and I was gone before this even came up.
Sounds like that's a complaint we should have got.
So could you walk us through, like, what happened that day with the patient, just so that we're all clear? And
the complaint that they're saying?
Against you. Yeah.
Sure. So the daughter of this patient came in from, I think it was Boston that day, and she had visited with Mr. H for a while, and then she was visiting with the speech bath, and I went to get the patient to see him for treatment. And he came down to the gym with me, and then we were doing some exercises and Theract and stuff, and then he pointed that he was, oh, did you meet my daughter? Because I had spoke with her on the phone before. And I said, no, I hadn't met her yet. So then he's like, let's go over there and tell her everything that we've been talking about. He was found in his apartment, second incident, I think, where he was unconscious from alcohol abuse. And so that was one of the daughter's main concerns with her being on the East Coast and him being by himself. And so now we have this dementia on top of alcoholism. So I was just explaining to her about how different strategies she could use, and visual boards would be good, calendars for the doctor's appointments. And one of the things that I like to tell caregivers with dementia patients is kind of just take the word remember out of their vocabulary, because it kind of frustrates the patient when you say, remember, I just told you. So she's like, oh yeah, I say that a lot. And I'm like, okay. So, and then I think, I don't know what else we talked about. Oh, she had a niece there. And so we talked about how she was going to move into the niece's home first, because there was a billing change in there. She came in from Manage A to Manage B also. So they had actually tried to kick the patient out of the nursing home a couple days before that, and so I was helping her with that. And so the other thing with dementia, the six levels of dementia, and I was telling her that, you know, to move into her niece's house first and then move to the East Coast, each move is a decline in their dementia scores and cognition. And so I was encouraging her to try to, if she could get the VA forms together and stuff to help with just maybe one move, and then extending his care in the facility. And he got, it was like 5-ish or something, so he got hungry and wanted to go back to his room and eat. And so then he was able to take himself back, and then I just continued caregiver training with her.
I think my biggest problem with this complaint is that there's no way this person could have stayed with you all day to know what that note really means. Like, especially if you were working with him and then going back to talk to her. I mean, you could have went back with him. There's a million other things that there's just not. I don't feel like there's any concrete proof that what you did was wrong.
And I just wanted to clarify, too, excuse me. You said you just billed for the 45 minutes that you were doing. Okay, I just wanted to make sure I heard that right. Okay.
Did you guys get the letters?
Mm-hmm. We did. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it looks like you've gone kind of above and beyond, so just kind of reading.
Because they got the letter that she was let go at 5 Eastern time, which had been 2 o'clock our time. So for me, you have treated that patient in the evening. She wasn't even there to like see any of this.
I'd probably make a motion to dismiss the claim.
I'll second that motion. Roll call vote, all in favor? Aye. Quentin McAllister, jeez. Horrible.
It's
a new thing. So
I wonder. This is the first time.
Barbara Paulson, aye.
Donnie Rosenfeld, aye.
Charlene Marbs, aye.
Motion carries 4-0. Yeah, it's definitely prior to this meeting. It was very rare for us to do a roll call vote. So that's why we're struggling with it.
Okay. Can I ask a question?
Absolutely.
So in this instant, is it kosher that they took my billing out of the chart and and crossed off my note and everything before any of this happened. Like, does that usually happen?
There's no way we can say. We don't. That's not something we deal with. Some companies will say, we deleted this billing because we believe this is fraud.
Okay.
But it's, I mean, as far as, well, that's not really something that we have to address, really. Mm-hmm. But it, I would, they're probably just protecting themselves just in case.
Right, that was my first thought. Then I was just kind of like, guilty before person.
Especially if it's only three units.
Yeah.
It's like, if we decided that that was in fact Medicare fraud, and then it could cost them a lot more than $100 or whatever.
That's true.
So
right.
That's, maybe that's why they did it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for coming in.
All right, item seven, and we're going to go ahead and approve license. So 7A, initial. Donnie's.
I need to recuse myself. Okay. Well, I'm not initial, I'm renewal.
Okay. Renewal.
Donnie's out.
Donnie's recusing himself for 7B.
Okay.
So the refusal for 7B.
He's on page three.
Maybe 10
yeah,
up.
It's on there. Page three.
Yeah, 10 up from the bottom.
Under renewals.
So you're just recusing from your own application, not everyone else's. Correct, because there would be no conflict of interest with anyone else, unless there is that you want to declare.
There's not.
Okay.
So it would just be from myself.
So you're just recusing from yourself, and then from the vote, you're just abstaining from the remaining items.
Okay.
Is that how?
Okay. So I'll abstain from
the remaining items for renewal applications in B.
Okay.
All
right. So 7A, we have 25 initial applications, and I'll make a motion to approve those. All in favor?
Oh, second. I second.
Not for license, right?
Oh.
So I'd like to just stop and clarify the voting. Originally, I thought everything had to be roll call vote, but actually, it just needs to reflect in the minutes who voted which way. So if you all do, you know, the standard, what you're used to.
Okay.
And if somebody votes nay, then I would indicate in the meeting minutes, which I've always done anyway, that a particular board member voted differently.
But for the complaints, you want to roll call.
Well, whenever discipline is issued, a roll call vote is required. And then also how each member voted should be noted in the minutes, which is already done.
Okay. I knew there's two different things, and I knew that's why I was just going to. So on 7A, I'll make a motion to approve the 25 initial applications. Do you have a second?
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And I can. Aye.
Motion.
Sorry, it's the next one that I refrained.
Happy New Year.
No, right?
We are struggling today.
All right. 7B, Donnie is recusing himself from,
abstaining.
With his license being
recusing from his license.
Abstaining from the remainder.
One motion, correct.
You can do it in one motion.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I'll make a motion to approve the 69 renewal applications. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries 3-0. Donnie's back with us now. 7C, which is one going to inactive, and I'll make a motion to approve that. License to inactive. Do I have a second?
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries 4-0. 7D, there is, let's see here, one back to active. I'll make a motion to approve that as well. Do you have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries 4-0. And 7E, two limited permits. I'll make a motion to approve those two limited permits. Do you have a second?
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carries 4-0. All right. Who would have thought we'd struggle so much in this meeting? Okay, item 8A, this is board reviews. So item 8A, 1 is Michaela Tony's, and that was a minor from...
Penn Business.
Yeah. I don't that's not our mortitude, so.
I'll make a motion to approve the license of Michaela Tonies.
Perfect. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries 4-0. 8B, renewals, other board reviews. We are tabling 8B1, Shailene Johnson, so we can address all that at once. So we're going down to number two. John Hooks, no treatment. So I'll make a motion to approve that if I have a second.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries 4-0. And 8B3, Irene Sadi. And that is a no practice reinstatement. Do I have a motion to approve the license?
I'll make a motion to approve the license.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
So I need a second.
Oh.
My apologies.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
You're fast.
Motion carries 4-0. I'm off today, apparently. My apologies. Okay. So now we're going to go back and address Shailene Johnson. If you want to come on, have your sip here. And we left off looking for the documentation for the continuing prior to August the 8th, I want to say.
16.
8. So were you able to obtain that?
I attempted to. I called them and they were not able to get it for me. I do have the email, though, that was sent to me stating all the information I told you guys.
You have something for the to see.
If you guys want a copy of it. And I also prepared a statement I'd like to read if I'm able to.
Absolutely.
I'm sitting before you today because of my negligent actions and assume full responsibility. As a professional, I should have taken proper actions to assure that my renewal application was received and processed and that I had a paper copy before I began working. I feel like many unfortunate series of events had contributed to this, and I'm not here to put blame on anyone but myself. At the same time, though, I feel that this may have been avoided if, one, I had refused to work until receiving my paper copy of my license. My prior employer assured me the website verification was all I needed and later told me they didn't need a copy at all. And two, if the website did not malfunction showing my license is active, which of course was no one's fault, technical errors happened, but the timing was just really bad for my situation. And three, if I had followed up to my unanswered email to the OT board I had sent on September 9th asking for a paper copy of my license, I would have found out that a renewal application had not been received. I am truly upset and remorseful for the trouble that I caused my employer. I really wanted to offer my sincere apologies. I had no idea what this had all caused them until the last meeting last month, and I've been really, really upset about it. I really enjoyed working for them, and I really miss everybody there. And I accept any disciplinary actions that the board deems appropriate for my negligent actions because I am a professional and I should know better. And my job is really important to me. I'm not the type of person who just work a 9-to-5 job and not feel like I'm doing something important, and this job made me feel like I was making a difference. So I'm really upset at myself for allowing this to happen because how important this job is to me. So I just want to tell you guys I take full responsibility. That's it.
Thank you. I'm just taking a minute.
Huh?
I'm just taking a minute.
No, no, it's okay.
Thank you. So, On here, it notes that by August 30th, the students would have had to download their certificates, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And save them. There's an opportunity to save them.
Right.
Okay.
I did say that to my laptop, which isn't working any longer.
And Mr. Chair, I did speak with Hannah from Home CEU Connection, and she did say that they had a system transition that would have caused this problem. But she was not able to look up the courses that Ms. Johnson had taken.
And then, I mean, even in this email, it says you have until August the 30th to download and save. Do you want these for the file?
Yes, please.
I'm assuming nobody else needs to see them.
Do you like to make copies?
Ms. Johnston, do you need a copy to keep?
This?
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I know, I feel like Dana needs to be here for this because one of her biggest things was if she's able to obtain the certificates, it kind of does definitely heavily weigh on which direction she felt discipline would be appropriate for this. And I definitely concurred with that. I feel like this, the fact that you can't produce those is very impactful. Before we make any further discussion, I have Larissa. I either can't pronounce this or can't read it. I'm not sure.
Which.
Would you like to make a statement before we continue on?
I think I would, especially if okay. This is going to get tabled again. I don't know that I'll be able to get the next one.
I don't think that it'll be tabled, but I wanted to make sure you gave your statement before
sure.
We continue to discuss.
I'll just follow up with a brief statement just back to Shailene. It's very unfortunate that we have gotten ourselves in this situation. The company I work for and she did work for, our motto is customer second, because we truly believe our employees are first. And if she'd just been more honest and forthcoming, the company would have helped her get around this situation, whether that meant paying for her license or helping our company even reimburse the CUs, whatever the factor may have been in her decision, we would have helped her. So it's very unfortunate that a lot of this was hidden from me, our supervisor. The only thing I'd like to add, based on my information last time, is the major question here is we know she worked without an active license. The question is, did she know it? I finally did get a chance to review the board minutes from the November meeting because I was curious if anything came up about her working at that time. It did not, but around 34:55 into that recording, she does make a statement that says she submitted her license as inactive, that she has all her hours done, she's just waiting for this, and then she'll turn her hours in to reactivate her license. If she had already submitted her license and it got lost in the mail, why would she make that statement? It just seems to show that I just have... Unfortunately, after our internal investigation from the company, we find it very hard to believe that there was any application prior to employment for reactivating. And that statement does kind of reflect, in my opinion, if she had already submitted an active license, she wouldn't have made that statement in the recorded minutes. And that's just the only thing I want to say. If it had already been submitted, I don't know why she would have said she was waiting to turn it in.
Thank you. Would you like to come back up? It sounds like you had a rebuttal.
No, I don't know if they're just confused about the whole situation and what was happening, but before I was hired with them, my license had expired, and I did turn in for an active license at that time, and I had turned in for my active and was waiting at that time when I was hired, and she knew what was going on, and I just feel like they're confused about the whole situation, about the process of my license and where I was at.
Let me stop right there. She just told me that in the meeting minutes for November, correct?
Correct.
That you stated that you've applied for reinstatement to go active.
I did reply. Yeah, I did.
Okay.
But she stated that it says... There was a question, I believe Barbara in the minutes asked if the initial complaint in November was about a renewal. Karen stated no, it was not about a renewal. And that's when Shailene made that statement where she said, I did apply for inactive. As her employer, I knew she had applied for inactive, but I was also told that she had submit everything for inactive. She is correct that I did tell her we go off the online verification, and our company has taken full ownership that we now know that that is not best protocol. But I never said I didn't need a copy of her license. And then if she had my, I guess my point is she's saying she submitted everything and it got lost in the mail. There's no record of it. There's no record of CEUs. But at the November meeting, she makes a statement about how she submitted inactive. She had completed all her hours in November. She didn't say in November, but at that meeting, she says that. And that she was waiting for this, the meeting, to submit everything. So if she had already submitted an active license, why would she make that statement? That's what I'm saying. It just still doesn't add up.
Shailene, the key to this is in the recording, and we can go back. I have no reason not to believe her. Mm-hmm. She's appeared to be very forthcoming and honest. Mm-hmm. And this is where we're questioning you being honest. Mm-hmm. Did you say that? Because we can go back and listen to that recording.
I'm not exactly sure what my wording was. I know, though.
But the indication is you knew that you were waiting to get your active license. That is the implication.
I had been waiting before. I don't know. I was waiting before. I'd have to go back and listen to it. I'm not sure exactly.
So
I don't remember.
Okay. And I don't know exactly what led up to that point in time in the audio. If you want to go back and listen to the audio, the board is free to do that.
I just like to remind that she started working for us at the end of August. So if she's stating that she was waiting for her active license, she started working in August. It's now November, and again, going to forthcoming and being
that's
honest.
Knowingly
as her supervisor, I feel I should have been informed that there was a complaint against her. I know that's a separate issue, but I believe as an occupational therapist myself, if I had a complaint against me, whether I felt it was actual or not, you would be honest with your employer and inform them of that. And I just feel like there's several months here where there's no way she didn't know she didn't have an active license.
Okay, and we've heard from you.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. So do you want to review the minutes, the audio from it, or do you not? And the context regarding that specific time frame. It's up to you.
I don't think it's necessary.
No. I was just looking at the summary of the complaint.
That to me indicates that she was aware that she did not have an active license.
Well,
so that would produce intent.
I wasn't aware, though, and I'm not sure about,
This is the investigation that we did, right?
Mr. McAllister, would you like to go into executive session?
I think that'd be a good idea. I'll make a motion to go into executive session for legal advice. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 4-0. We're going into executive session at 2:18. Clear in the room. Thank you. And you want a couple minutes to.
Do you want to recess?
Yes.
Okay.
Are these working?
No, because we were in executive session. Right?
So are we back into open now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so we're in open session?
No. So you did want me to take a 5-minute recess to get the audio?
Probably just, a minute.
Oh,
I'm going to step out so that people don't hear everything.
So I'll make a motion that we take a brief recess to prepare audio. Do I have a second?
A second.
All in favor?
You don't need a motion. Just take a pause.
Okay, so
let's take a brief recess at 2:53. Okay, we're returning from our recess at 2:57. And we have the audio prepared?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I listened to about a minute of the audio, and I queued it up to begin specifically when Ms. Johnston is asked about where she is in the process. The immediate portion before this was related to the other incident or the other matter that she was at the board meeting for. Okay. So let's see if we can make it so you can hear this without killing your ears.
Mr. Chair, do you want to set the...
After we listen to the audio.
That's so good.
Any other discussion or motion?
Can you hear it?
I can feel the change, I think.
I can too. So I guess I would make this is a renewal, right?
Well, this is actually...
I submitted it as inactive at the time with everything, and I've got all my hours and everything done. I just was waiting for this, and then I'll submit my hours to turn my license back to active. I guess, is that where I'm at?
So,
okay. All right. Before we start the conversation again, I want to be very clear. We may go back and forth asking each of you questions. I don't want either of you to interact with each other. I only want you to speak when we're asking you a question that's very, very specifically to what we're asking. We don't need to go back and forth, okay? We're here to deal with, now I know there's an employment issue that's separate because we don't manage those type of situations. We're here to address the complaint where she was working without a license, without an active license. So I understand that, you know, that situation impacts, but we're here to specifically, and I want the conversation to be directed to us, not to interact with each other, okay? Okay, so listening to that audio, I feel that it's very clear that you knew you did not have an active license, and that was November the 20th?
Right.
Is that correct?
As the last date.
Well, it was
the
before
board meeting
the
date?
Meeting was before that.
Let me double check.
Is the 9th?
I think it was November 9th, but let me confirm.
So,
I think the 20th.
That audio we just listened to from, I believe, November the 9th. So at that point in time, you knew that you did not have an active license.
Yes.
From the impression from the audio. Okay. You worked from September the 5th or the 9th?
5th.
Can you clarify that?
I believe it was the 5th. We actually had done some of the paperwork at the end of August, but I believe our first day of patient care was September 5th.
And
then employment ceased on November 19th.
So you continued, at that point, at that meeting, you continued working knowing you didn't have a license up until the 19th.
Correct, and that was only because I checked the board website and noticed change on the board's website was not because she ever actually came and informed me of anything.
Okay. So, again, I'll ask you, you were aware that you didn't have an active license at that point in time in November?
I'm not sure if the question that was asked of me was misunderstood, and I'm still not quite... I was not aware at the time that I did not have an active license, and I'm still sticking with that.
I have a question. From the investigation, it was noted that your continuing education units were submitted on November the 26th, 2018 application. Those units were dated August the 9th, 2018 through September the 9th, 2018. And on September the 9th, the certificate was for 5 hours. And prior to September the 9th, you had 9 hours of continuing education hours, which was not enough for your renewal. And you know how many hours you need to be active. Is that correct in your practice?
Yes, I do.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions? I mean, it's very clear that we worked without a license from September the 5th to November the 19th. I find it, from the audio, I firmly believe that you knew that you did not have a license. It's very frustrating it's very frustrating that you tell me that you feel like it was unclear, because the audio, to me, sounds like it's very clear that you were aware that you didn't have a license at that time. Even even as of September the 9th, you knew you didn't have enough hours at that point.
Which goes so. Back to me not being able to access my prior certificates with the email that I had submitted to you guys.
And unfortunately, I mean, from the email from the company, you even had that opportunity to gain that. So I'm just not comfortable with taking that for fact.
But if we focus just on the findings of fact, the fact is that you did treat without an active license. Okay.
And that was a violation of 32.34.01U, correct? Practicing without, is that the one that's practicing without a license?
That's the violating any federal
Z.
state law,
yeah. Yeah.
Rule or regulation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which falls under that.
Okay.
So I'll make a motion to adopt that violation as fact.
What was the
32.34.01U
uniform. Z, failing to renew.
Z. Am I getting them mixed up?
Z is failing to renew a license while
continuing to practice.
Oh, okay.
U is violating any federal state.
Okay. So they both apply to this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So
I would agree.
I'll adopt that I'll make a motion to adopt it as fact that there is a violation by practicing without a license from September the 5th to November the 19th. And that's a violation of 32.34.01Z and U. Do you have a second to that motion?
I second.
We'll do a roll call vote. All in favor? Aye. Quentin McAllister.
Barbara Paulson, aye.
Tanya Wilson-Feld, aye.
Charlene Marbs, aye.
Now, the second question, which is a little bit more challenging, is there an ethics violation? That's going to be our harder one to prove, I believe, but the audio supports the fact that you were very aware that you didn't have a license at that point. Even so, if it doesn't, it sounds like what you said, and I'm not going to quote, but you're waiting for your active license. Do you agree with that? That you were waiting for your active license?
That's what I heard me say in the recording, but again, it was a really hard day that day, and I was bringing up things that happened from a year ago, and I am fearful talking in front of public, so I just can't remember I'm sorry.
In a written email that you sent, you stated, I assumed my application had been processed.
Because of the board website that stated it was active, yes.
Okay. And we did have that glitch on the website that did reflect, because you saw that as well, that it was active, but it really wasn't.
And I have a question for you, Ms. Johnson. There's a fee associated with applying for an active license, an additional fee, correct? Do you agree?
Yes.
Okay. And I believe I remember that you said you wrote you sent in a check for that fee,
yes,
with the application. And did you not notice that the fee was never, that check was never processed through your bank account?
I wasn't paying that close attention, I guess. No, I didn't notice. I'm sorry, I did not notice. I wasn't paying that close of attention.
Okay.
To piggyback on that, you applied for inactive status, so you were aware that you
July.
Were applying for that.
Back in July, but then in the middle of August was when I had turned in for my active.
Okay.
Am I allowed to say anything to that? Again, as an occupational therapist myself, we know that the board only meets once a month, so again, assuming she did start working with patient care September 5th, she just said that in the middle of August she applied for a reactive license. That would not have even been renewed or even reviewed by you guys until the September board meeting, which was after September 5th. So she still would have had patient care without an active license, because even if she had submitted it, it wouldn't have been reviewed by you guys yet, because the board meeting was after September 5th.
which the prior meeting I admitted to you guys that I was overwhelmed. I was having like 13-hour days with my transfer, you know, drive time and work and having three kids and still trying to keep everything afloat. And I overlooked it, and I wasn't paying attention to the dates of when the board met. I just got my stuff together when I had it, and I just mailed it. And then the license when I went.
But you did the exact same thing on the tail end of that, because at the November meeting, you continued to practice for, there was 9 calendar days. I don't know if you worked, I doubt if you worked all those days, but the same thing happened at the end of that. So while I appreciate that we all have challenges in life, you still have to be responsible professionally for what your actions are.
Which is why I take full responsibility, because I know that me as a professional should have known better. I should have got my paper copy before I started working.
But you're continuing to tell me that you are unclear on whether you had a license or not. So
I wasn't unclear at that point, though. I thought my license was active at that point. But I didn't know it was inactive until my employer brought that information to me in November.
Okay. But Ms. Johnson, I want to go back to the fact that you knew that you did not have enough continuing education credits to have an active license. As a professional, you know how many continuing education units you have, and you know how many you've taken online, even without seeing the certificates, and the fact is that you did not have enough.
I did, though. I just did not have access to get the ones I had sent you guys originally, because my computer had died and I no longer had access to go back into the system to get the prior certificates I had sent you guys. I did have enough hours when I sent my application to you guys.
At this point, I'm comfortable saying that there was an ethics violation of knowingly practicing without a license.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
I said at this point, I'm comfortable saying that there was an ethics violation knowingly practicing without a license.
It's an active license. She's a licensed.
An inactive license.
So she was practicing under an inactive status.
Okay.
Correct?
Correct.
Okay, is that what you're intending?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. So, discussion on that?
I would probably need to look into some continuing education.
Can you speak up?
Sure. Yeah. Looking at continuing ed and maybe thinking of some classes that might help with kind of ethics training and making sure that we know how to act as a professional and making sure we know what is expected of us from being a licensed therapist.
I'm still on the finding the fact part. So,
Sorry.
You sound like you're in agreement. Are we in agreement on the ethics violation? Tori can make a motion to vote on it.
Right.
It's okay. Looking at me. I know. I was wavering on this, but this is such a regulated, licensed profession. And you're dealing with people that professionally, I don't think you did your due diligence, because I agree we all have, sometimes our life just goes, but we still have to deal with things. So I would agree to do that. There's kind of a pattern here.
For myself, the way I maintain my records for my continuing ed is I use the MBCOT Navigator. That way I'm maintaining my O or my R. So it's uploaded there. I have a paper copy, and then I also have email copies in another location. So maybe this is why I'm obsessed with making sure all my ducks are in a row, because this is my livelihood. And I would expect everyone else to treat it as their livelihood. This is your profession, and I maintain my records to where this is dependent on me surviving, because it is, not only do I love what I do, but it's how I pay my bills to survive, to exist.
From this point forward, I'm going to keep my records.
So, I mean, it would very much benefit you to scan those in and upload them to NBCOT, and you can pull those down later, too.
If I'm not a member of NBCOT at the moment, do I have access to that?
You probably do not.
I'm still gathering my, which is why I still have those 5 hours and still doing credit hours just to get my NBCOT.
So, but at any rate, I would definitely recommend maintaining multiple copies of records for the continuing education. Side note, I apologize. I'll go ahead and make a motion to adopt into fact that there was a violation of 32-3401, item O, and that is an ethics violation. Do I have a second for that motion?
I'll second the motion.
All in favor? Roll call vote. Sorry.
Yeah, that's right.
Quentin McAllister, aye.
Barbara Paulson, aye.
Tommy Hosenfeld, aye.
Charlene Marbs, aye.
Ms. Hutchings is absent.
Motion carries 4-0. There's another possible violation that's kind of irrelevant, and that's the display, where we all know that that didn't happen, but I don't think that it's beneficial to this case to add that particular item.
I agree.
Okay, so we have these violations of ethics and practicing without a license.
An inactive license,
yes. It's important that we do distinct that, because yes. Someone off the street practicing OT versus someone who just didn't have an active license, you have a professional training and understanding on what to do. So thank you for correcting me on that, you guys. Okay, at any rate. So at this point, we have our conclusion that there was those violations of those statutes. Have there been any prior discipline, Karen, with this license?
No, there has not been.
Okay.
Can I just ask one question, too? Charlene, you said you're taking some coursework now?
Yeah, well, I have access to free CDs. Okay,
but you're not?
I'm not currently taking a course at this very moment.
All right, just wanted to clarify that. Thanks.
Okay, so now is where we hash out what we think is an appropriate discipline action for the license. I definitely think a probation period would be appropriate. I was leaning more towards a longer probation due to the length of time that this was, approximately 3 months of treating without a license. So I would be comfortable with 2 years. I'd like to continue that discussion with you guys. Do you feel like that's an appropriate period?
That was in my mindset, too. 2 years.
That's very fair.
That's what I was thinking as well. And what additionally should be considered for this? Some continuing education?
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah.
Is probationary and can't work?
No. So, do
we finish first?
Let us deliberate, and then we can explain what we're working on.
Would 9 or 12 hours of ethics training be sufficient?
I think. 12?
I think that's in addition to the
license.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think that's a reasonable for ethics, Medicare. You know,
we always
say ethics, we always add a couple components of ethics.
Thank you for clarifying.
And things like that.
Okay.
So it would be for billing and licensing. Or?
Ethics, billing, licensure, not necessarily, but. Ethics, billing, Medicare regulation, maybe. A lot of this continued courses kind of, they'll lump that together.
Okay.
So it kind of hits all the highlights.
And then also, to review the statutes and regulations.
Review that and then sign.
Sign.
As an affidavit, is that a correct term or a letter of statement for confirming?
A letter from her stating she's
Board members, when you talked about the continuing education, 12 hours in ethics, billing, and Medicare regulation, do you want a specific number of hours dedicated to ethics, or can it be satisfied by doing any of those?
I think any of those. I think that would be
heavily on ethics.
Within that.
With at least how many in ethics?
I think, well,
six would be appropriate, half of that being in ethics specifically.
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I think that's good.
Do we think a civil penalty is appropriate in this particular situation?
I'm sorry, I can't. When you look at that, I can't read your question.
Do we think a civil penalty is appropriate in this particular situation?
My personal opinion is I am not leaning that way myself.
What are the options regarding a civil penalty?
A minimum of $250 up to $10,000. Is that the?
I think it's per violation.
This is at your discretion.
Okay.
Okay. I think that it would be reasonable to go on a smaller scale.
I would agree, just because it kind of makes you very aware of, you know, what you're responsible for, so it doesn't have to, so it doesn't happen again.
Mr. Chair, I'd recommend 250.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Is 250 reasonable?
I think that's fair.
I disagree, so.
I do think it brings awareness to what's taking place when it hits your work accounts. I personally avoided looking at suspension of any kind, because I know that you haven't been able to work since November, and then this is going to take a little bit of time, so I just want to make that public that I avoided any suspension of time, just because you're kind of in the penalty box already in that aspect. So is there any other terms or considerations that we would like to add to this consent agreement that we're kind of working on?
I think that sounds pretty fair.
I think we've covered a lot.
Mr. Chair, do you have a time frame for when the continuing education needs to be completed and the civil penalty?
I was going to bring that up.
And the letter?
For the continuing ed, I think that
12 months, maybe?
Yeah, I think a year is reasonable, because this is, in fact, on top of what you're going to need to renew. So if we say 12 months, you'll have a year to complete that, and then essentially you're going to need to do another 12 units for your renewal in that next year, if that's how. I mean, you could do 24 in 1 year and be satisfied for all of it. But just to be clear, this is in addition to. So,
can I ask a question? Mm-hmm. Do I have to do those 12 hours before my application gets renewed, or this is going to be with my next?
So what we're proposing in regards to continuing education is that you're going to need to complete 12 additional continuing education units within the first 12 months of this probation period. So I think it'd be best if we explain this. I don't think we need to add anything else. Does anybody else feel that we're missing any details?
I think that sounds pretty fair.
Okay.
And then the civil penalty.
When would that be due?
You want 6 months? 6 months? 6 months?
Are we going to vote on that?
Yeah, of course. I'm just trying to hash out the details so that we have some.
Could it be due sooner? Does that help her to have it due sooner?
Mm-mm. Not really.
No. Okay.
Is that something I can pay at the window now before I go?
No, because we have to draft the legal document. It has to be signed and then executed. So
you can say within 6 months?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and make a motion.
One last thing, the statutes and rules review letter.
Yeah.
When would you like that?
I think that would be very reasonable to have that done within the first 30 days.
Yes.
I would say so. Yeah. Okay. All right. All the details? All right. Mm-hmm. I'll make a motion to offer a consent agreement for 2 years of probation, 12 hours of continuing education with a minimum of 6 of those being ethics to be completed within 12 months of the signed consent agreement, a letter statement of the review of our statutes and written rules within 30 days, and a civil penalty of $250 to be paid within 6 months of the signed consent agreement. Do you have a second?
Second.
For the motion?
I was just thinking with your motion that we would approve her application for active status upon execution of the complaint agreement.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Okay.
So,
of the consent agreement.
Right. So,
oh, did I say complaint?
Yes.
Sorry.
No.
Consent. Thank you.
So, upon the receipt of the signed consent agreement, the license will go active. Okay. Do I have a second?
Upon execution?
Yes.
Yeah, once it's signed and returned.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I wrote down a complaint.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Do we have a second for the motion?
A second.
Okay, we'll do a roll call vote. All in favor? Aye. Quentin McAllister?
Charlene Marbs, aye.
Donnie Hosenfeld, aye.
So I have to agree to everything?
Nope.
You know, they can, you can vote nay, you know, or state on the record what you don't agree with, or you can just vote no. It's entirely up to you, or the motion can be broken down into each probationary term, and you can vote on that separately.
Okay.
That's an option as well.
You'll still have enough if I vote nay. I will vote nay on it because of the, what was it, financial?
Civil
penalty, because I thought it was too punitive.
Okay.
The motion carries 3-1. Okay, so now you're trying to understand what this means, correct? So, Sabrina, our Attorney General, will draft the document that basically you're going to agree. You'll agree. You don't have to sign this, first of all. So you can agree to these terms, and then you sign it, you return it. Karen, our executive director, signs it. Then it goes into to where it's a legal document that's been agreed on by both parties, and you have to start working on these items as the timeline starts on the date it's executed.
And on the date it's executed, the license is issued, and then
so
she would be able to start practicing.
Active license at that point, you can practice. Did that answer your questions?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And this is your choice?
Yes.
Agree to it and sign it or not.
All right.
Does anybody have any further questions?
All right, thank you. All right, where are we? Item 9. All right.
It's my turn.
Yes, it is. Well,
actually,
elections.
No.
So item 9A, election of board officers. Item 1, the chair. So, is anybody interested in the seat, or shall I continue on?
Would anyone like to nominate anyone?
I would like to nominate Quentin McAllister, the board chair.
I'll second that.
All right. All in favor? Is that a vote, correct?
Do we have to do a roll call on that, or just a... All right. Aye.
Aye.
All right. I will continue. It's kind of fun sometimes. Okay.
Sometimes,
yeah. Today, maybe not. Okay. Anyway, item 9A2, a vice chair.
And, who's the vice chair now?
Donnie.
Oh.
And he's done a stellar job.
Yeah. I'll make a motion to nominate Donnie to continue as vice chair.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Can I vote myself? Or?
Well, I guess we should have given him the opportunity to come on here.
If you still want the position,
I'll take it.
Okay. All right.
Awesome.
So that carries 4-0 as well. And now we'll turn it over to Karen for 9B Board Statistics from 2018.
Okay, so 9B, I thought it would be nice, you know, once we have our elections that we could summarize 2018, and we processed 2,080, or Vicki processed 2,080 applications, including initials and renewals and reinstatements. We processed 18 complaints. In the prior year, we received 14, so we're definitely going up, and we already have 2 for this year. So, of those 18 complaints, 5 were dismissed. 2 resulted in non-disciplinary actions. 4 resulted in disciplinary actions. And 7 are still open. But a few of those were taken care of today. item 9C, the financial report. We spoke last month about the financial situation where the Occupational Therapy Board is paying all of the rent because of a bill that passed that we had no control over. I haven't received the cash report from the end of December yet, but I did take a look at the one that I presented to you last month, and I removed some items that, you know, this board doesn't have to be 100% responsible for paying, and it leaves us with, you know, like $100. But, you know, of the items that were remaining, I still have overestimated how much they'll cost. So we should be okay. Then moving on to item 9D, administrative project status report, policies and procedures I continue to work on. Item 9D2, application automation or e-licensing. As you will recall, I had taken on the role of being the business owner representing all 13 boards regarding e-licensing. I stepped down from that position a couple of weeks ago because it was too much. I couldn't focus on my number one priority, which is being executive director for the boards. So I am very happy that I did that. I'm starting to get a little bit of sanity back and a lot of time. And then finally, application automation or the e-licensing. We have recovered from the system outage that we had at the end of November, and we're looking at ways to improve the system. Then on item 9C, the five-year rule review, we did identify quite a few rules that we wanted to have changed. I presented that to Emily Rajokovich from the governor's office, and she approved an exemption from the rulemaking moratorium for all but, I believe, two of those. One was the increasing the number of continuing education hours to 24 for occupational therapists, because they won't approve anything that increases the requirements. And the other was just something that she needed clarification on. I'd have to look it up, but I'll give her clarification on that, and I believe she'll approve that as well. So that's only part of what we were looking at changing. We still have the administrative or the statute changes that we would like to make, and I'll have to meet with probably Senator Carter in the next month to see if she would support or if she would sponsor a bill to make those changes, and those would be only for administrative changes, nothing in regards to practice.
Okay.
Good. You've been busy.
I have a quick question.
Now
that I don't have e-licensing to deal with as much.
So can someone step up to take the reins?
Yes. Yes, okay. Kevin LaMountain from Private Post-Secondary Education. He led a meeting regarding e-licensing the other day, and he's doing a great job. So
great.
It was a good choice.
Quick question about the application on the e-licensing.
Yes.
So how do we know, because I learned from experience, mm-hmm. When you're renewing, you're not uploading certificates from continuing education, are you? Or was that, I'm trying to think, or maybe was that the one that we upload for e-licensing, or is that for the initial application?
Well, when you renew, you have to upload your continuing education.
Well, what about when you renew?
When you renew, you do.
Okay.
When you get your initial license, you don't have to.
Okay. That was the thing that I was wondering. Okay. So for your initial one, like how would you know if there's, how would you know the continuing ed? Because don't you still need
continuing CEUs? Continuing is not required for an initial.
It's not. Okay.
And you were being directed to only an initial because you were renewing too soon.
Right.
So okay. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You weren't checked.
Okay.
So that's what the problem is. Once we checked that renewal eligible, you were fine and you were able to
select. Oh, gotcha. Okay.
We were ahead of the
game. Yeah. Overachieving again.
Yeah.
I did the same thing, but when I logged in, I couldn't figure out where renewal was at that point in time. So I'm like, just send it in. Sorry. Okay.
Can I get my official name?
You know, I was looking at that. Well, and I think Donnie's is not a real one, too, so we need to order those. Those don't cost too much. I think we can.
I was just going to say, you know, like, we've only
bake sale or to get my tag.
All right. So, anything for next month's meeting? All right. Sounds good to me. All right. We'll do a call to public. Thank you, lovely student, for showing up.
Yes.
It was our pleasure.
Yes.
Bye, guys. Have a good right. day.
Bye.
Good weekend.
That being said, we will make. I'll make a motion to adjourn this meeting for a second.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries 4-0. Meeting adjourned at 3:33.
3:33.
Wow. Trying to make that.